Of course, we look at the book of Ephesians. We always give this little outline. Hopefully, we'll one day remember it. Amen. Chapter 1, we always look at redemption. You see in chapter 1, he talks about redemption. In Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about being reconciled to God. And I'm glad you and I can be redeemed. Amen. I'm glad we can be reconciled back to God. And then in chapter 3, we see the revelation that was given to Paul about the church. And then in chapter 4, we see our responsibilities. We're to walk worthy, the vocation wherewith you are called. And boy, and that's really what we're speaking about tonight, is about our walk with the Lord. When we come to chapter 5, we see reflections in verses 1 through 17, the reflections. And actually, I'm going to start reading about number 14 and read some verses here. And I want to speak about our relationships. I'm not going to speak on the home, even though I know this is, the Lord lets me, I might do that not this Sunday, but next Sunday using this text. But I want to speak about another relationship you and I have. When we look at Ephesians, we usually look at Christ and His church, because that speaks much about Christ and His church. But it also speaks about saints and the Spirit of God. And that's what we're going to look at. He said in verse number 18, and be not drunk in wine with excess, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. And so may I say that that is not that's not just something that He's just talking to us about. It is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. So if you're saved tonight, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is commanded that you and I be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And so starting about verse number 14, the Bible says, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I don't believe there's a greater time to redeem than today because the days are evil. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we talk about, I read things about, is management, managing your time. Well, I fail a lot of times on managing my time. I don't know about you, but I fail on doing that. And I need to be a better manager of my time. And we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Verse number 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, you want to talk, He gives us three walks in chapter number 5. He says, first of all, in verse number 2, we're to walk in love. See that in Ephesians 5? Number 2, walk in love. Now that's the pattern of our walk. Then he says in verse number 8, he says we're to walk as children of the light. Hey, that's the influence or the power of our walk. Now the walking in love is going to be our pattern, is going to be our testimony. That when we walk as children of light, that's going to be the power that we have to influence others. You know what a light does? A light shows the way. If we would turn these lights off, what would it be in here? Dark, okay? And so you and I are lights in a dark world. And we're an influence in this world. Each one in this building has an influence. You're influencing somebody. I've told this thousands of times here. Deborah did a paper when she was at Bob Jones University. And they asked her to write a paper. And she wrote a paper on, and this was the title of it, television, or this was a statement in it, maybe a chapter in it. And it says, television is educational. Well, I looked at that as a 25, 26-year-old man, and I thought, young man, and I thought, man, honey, I mean, you go to Bob Jones. You're supposed to be smart. But TV is not educational. Don't you know what's on TV? And this was what my unsmart wife said. Well, y'all didn't like that statement. And Brother Bo's already fell, and I ain't got no water. I told him, that's two, Brother Bo. Two marks against you. We'll have to tell that joke again. Yeah, you don't remember. But I said, honey, she said, man, this is what my unwise wife said. She said, TV is always teaching, but it may not be always good. Yeah. Right. And it is. How true that is. So my wise wife said, hey, you know, that's what she said. And y'all knew she was wise anyway. But it's true. And you're always influenced. It might not always be the right kind of influence, but you are influenced, and you're always being an influence. You're always being a light. And so then we come to verse number 15. He said, walk circumspectly. We could say this would be walk not as fools, but as wise. And he goes on to say, wherefore, but not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we're to walk in the Lord's will. I mean, hey, the matter of fact, this will of the Lord is what? That's the purpose for our life. So we see the pattern of our life. We see the power in our life to influence. We see the purpose of our life. And how are we going to fulfill this? Thank you so much, brother. Amen. Thank you. You got this from the fountain out there, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Brother Bo is a plumber, and we have to always remember that. And since I was picking on him, I wanted to make sure he got this water from the right place.
Brother Jeff, you got water.
Yeah, that was Brother Jeff. Hey, I believe that. But so we got our walk, our pattern, our power, our influence. We've got our the purpose of our life. But there's some, how can we do all three of these? Well, the key is in verse 18. You and I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so I want to look at the results of being filled with the Spirit of God. While I was gone, was up in a, I think Deborah mentioned it Sunday, she heard 20 messages, amen. While we was up there, we heard a lot of preaching, and I preached Wednesday night, the last message in the meeting on Wednesday night, they saved the best for last. That's what I told them anyway. They didn't believe it just like you didn't believe it. But, and so I preached the last, but we heard a lot of great messages by great men. Preaching the Word of God. And so they have afternoon services. Brother Melvin does it different than we do. He starts at 3 o'clock and they go to 5:30 and feed a meal, supper. And then they come back in and they usually have, a lot of times they'll have two, most times they have two preachers at night. And so so they have five a day. One day we got six in. And so you can figure all it up. And then me and Deborah left out early. We left out at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning and drove to Chattanooga to be in the Tri-State Baptist Fellowship. Heard two more messages there. Amen. And so we heard some good preaching. But anyway, one of the preachers preached on being filled with the Spirit of God, and he preached on this text. And he done a good job preaching. But have you ever heard somebody preach a text and you thought, I want more out of that? Yeah, some of y'all said, we do that every Sunday, preacher. Want more out of that. Y'all didn't have to remind me of that. I could just see it on your faces. But so I got to looking at this text. And, of course, he mentioned, and he preached about just relationships, and it was wonderful. But I believe we can dive in a little bit deeper than just the relationship part that he was talking about, even though I believe in the relationship part of the Holy Spirit. We must realize the Spirit of God is living within us. He lives in us. Amen. We must realize that in the Old Testament time, God came and left. I mean, the Spirit of God would come and come upon somebody. I mean, that's why Samson had the power. The Spirit of God would come upon him. But now we've come into the New Testament age, and after the Lord Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead, when he said, I go away, I'll send the Comforter. You won't be comforted. I'll send the Comforter, and then the Bible tells us who the Comforter is. We don't even have to guess about it. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and he's going to take up his abode. He's going to abide within us. Amen. And so how, since we have the Spirit of God already living in us, we have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with circumstances going to be mentioned here. And then we have a relationship with other people that is mentioned here. Now notice these three relationships, and then I'm going to try to preach on the results of the Spirit of God in our life. It says here, you and I have a relationship with God. Be not drunk with wine, with it says, but be filled with the Spirit of God. He says that right after he talks about us being in the what? The will of who? The Lord. The will of the Lord is. And so we realize that that is our relationship with God. We're supposed to be fulfilling what He has, the purpose He has for our life. Wouldn't you believe that's what God would leave us down here for? To fulfill His purpose. Now, I don't know what His purpose is for your life. I sometimes don't even know if I know what His purpose is for my life. Don't look at me so, y'all are the same way. And so, we realize that we do have a purpose. We do have something that God wants to fulfill in our life. So we have a relationship to God. Then, look at verse number 18. And 19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Hey, we have a relationship with the circumstances that goes on, giving thanks always for all things. We have a relationship with the circumstances that go on. And bro, I'll tell you, that's hard. Give thanks always for all things. Again, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. And you said, preacher, I couldn't give thanks for this certain thing. Well, what God's wanting us to do is God wants us to thank Him for His power and this great trials that come. And we don't thank God for killing somebody. We don't thank God for... We thank God for being with us in the and giving us the power and His presence, and then knowing that God is all-knowing and that He can't do anything wrong, and it was His will, it was His purpose, and He's got something He's going to fulfill for letting this go on. Let me ask you this. Has anything ever went on in your life and you thought, what in the world? Why is God allowing that to happen? Yeah. And guess what? I don't know. You don't know. I don't know. We don't know. Amen. But there is one that does know, and that's God. And we must thank God, and when we're thanking God, we're trusting God, dependent upon God, and what we're realizing is God is the one that is in control of our life. God is the one that is leading us, and we're just going to trust God in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this trouble, even in the midst of this tragedy, and may I say that's a whole lot of easy preaching but a hard living. Amen. It's easy to say that, but it's hard to live that. And so, sometimes we have to live what we believe. And so we have to say, Lord, I don't understand why we lost a baby. I don't understand why we're going through this trial. I don't understand why these things are happening. As far as I know, there's nothing in my life. As far as I know, there's nothing that would be in my life that is sin that would cause you to have to deal with me. And God, I'm just going to thank You. I'm just going to trust You. I'm just going to depend upon You because You're working everything out for Your honor and Your glory and for our good. Amen. All right. So there's a relationship in the circle. And then we have a relationship to other people. Then he goes on down here. Wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wife. And then he goes to chapter number 6. Children, obey you, love your parents. And so he deals with those relationships we have with other people. Now how? Why did you say all that? Excuse me. I said all that to say this. The only way I can have the right relationship with God, the only way I can have the right relationship in circumstances, the only way I can have the right relationship with other people, because I don't know if y'all ever noticed that, but some of the other people can get on your nerves. Amen? I don't know if y'all noticed, but some of the people, and sometimes I can say some crazy things. And sometimes other people can say some crazy things. Amen? And so, and how the only way that you and I can have the right relationship is what? To be filled with the Spirit of God. Okay? To be filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, in our relationship with God, what would be the results of being filled with the Spirit of God in our relationship with God? Well, I believe it would be this. It would be the spirit of adoration, a spirit of worship with the Lord. I don't think it would be a spirit of doubt, do you? I don't think it would be a spirit of disbelief. What would be a result of being filled with the Spirit of God? Being filled with the Spirit, that I'm just in love with Him. When a Spirit-filled person is filled with the God, with the Lord, his relationship with the Lord is right. And you know, you're going to, like he says here, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hey, there's something about when things are right between you and God, there's just a joy there. The Bible says it passes all understanding. It's unspeakable. I mean, he said, tell me about it. I can't. It's unspeakable. I can't explain it. But when I'm right with God and things are right in my life and things are going well and I know that my relationship with the Lord and I'm trying to fulfill and be what He wants me to be. Now, what's going to be seen in my life is I'm going to have a adoration. I'm going to have a love for Him. I'm talking about a passion for Him. I'm talking about wanting to praise Him. I'm talking about something that would be emotionally in love with Him. The only thing I can liken it to is the love that you have for a spouse. And we should have a love for God. We should have a love for Him. I wonder, do we really love Him? Do we adore Him? Sometimes I wonder if we even think about him. Sometimes I wonder if we realize that God is maneuvering these things for us. I was talking to somebody and they was talking about how that they were so thankful. And this is a word they kept using. I'm telling them they're a Christian. They're a good Christian. And I'm not being picky. This is a word. Well, we were so lucky. We were so lucky that the storm. I talked to a gentleman today, a preacher today that actually had called here and asked if I knew. He called and asked if we had anybody in the college or anything about a youth pastor. He was looking for a youth pastor. And so, and I have calls for sometimes for that, and I have calls for people looking for pastors and stuff like that. And so, and I said, well, right now, I said, our preachers in the church are young, you know. They're too young to go down there and be a youth pastor. You know. And he was talking about they was out without power and different things. Now, he wasn't the brother that said this, but he was talking about all the things that was going on. And there have been a lot of people without power here in the state of Georgia. But this person kept on saying, hey, that, yes, said that we this tree fell, but it didn't hit nothing. The water, there was water that came up almost to a house, and different things almost happened, and a friend, a cousin, or a brother, or something. We was just so lucky. And I finally said it, boys, this God's good to us, ain't he? I want y'all to remember, Christians, there's no such thing as luck. I think we forgot that. I know what some of them are ready to pull it out. I got a rabbit's paw. What's that mean, buddy? That's why I tell you what it means. It means the rabbit's has got three paws, amen. That's what it means. That horseshoe you have over your, that don't mean nothing. Amen. My mother done this all the time. That black cat would go across the road in front of the car. She'd exit out on the windshield. How many of y'all mothers and daddies done that? Is he there? Exit out, okay? Exit out. Mama always, oh, we've got to exit that out. Thank you, spiritual mama. I mean, no, we're accident, you know. Yeah. But it's true. We actually think about it in more of a luck way than we think about it in God's way sometimes. That God's worked this out for us. Yeah. That God intervened. That God touched. That God helped us. Amen. I believe when you and I, our relationship's right with God, you know what we do? We'll be praising Him more. That's what I'm talking about, adoration. Giving thanks unto the Lord for all things. Amen. Praising Him. Realizing He's the one. That's why we're speaking to ourselves in Psalms. You know what that is? The young people that went to camp, they learned the Psalms. They learned a song that was out. That's what that's talking about, Psalms. Yeah. That was Israel's psalm book. Then it talks about hymns. You know what a hymn is? It's about Him. Yeah. Amen. That's what they consider our hymns are about Him. It speaks to us about the Lord. It speaks to us about Christ. It speaks to us about the Spirit of God. It speaks about what He's done for us. And then spiritual songs. You know what a spiritual song is? It's a testimony. You've heard people sing, and it's more of a testimony. It's the testimonies. It's a testimonial song. The spiritual songs are. And so singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, y'all don't want me doing a whole lot of that in public. But now I can really sing when I get in the car. Y'all have never heard such good singing till I get in the car and you hear me sing. Amen. How many sings in the car and loves it? Amen. Yeah. Now, I'm not real big at listening to the radio and everything like that. I did a lot, and I've sung more then than I do now, really. But sometimes, and I was in the bed, and I go to bed late, and I lay down in the bed, and I didn't pay attention to what I was doing. And Deborah said, it's probably 12:30 at night, and she'd been asleep for 2 hours or more. And so she said, what are you doing? And I caught myself, I was singing. I had laid down. And I wasn't singing loud, but I was singing. I couldn't go to sleep right there. Usually I lay down and go right fast asleep. That is changing for some reason right now in my life. And so and I lay down and I was laying down there in front of, and I started humming and I started singing. When I was young, I'm going to tell y'all a secret about it. And you, if you ever see my sister, you can ask her about it. She loves to tell it. But I used to make up songs. I was the best songwriter you ever heard. And I would make them up in the back seat, and my sister would, but she just hated me. Mom and Daddy, can't you quit, make him stop singing? He's just singing. He just read that sign, and he's singing that sign, right? And I did. I'd sing the signs. I'd sing about the car. We just passed the blue car. I'd sing. Amen. And oh, it just drove her crazy. Amen. At night, when I'd lay down in the bed, I would sing. And my brother one night, he got tired of it, and he was probably 16 years old, and we had bunk beds, and I slept on the top bunk bed, and he kicked the bunk bed, and it went completely up, and it went off of the things and landed on him. He didn't do that no more, amen. And then he came in there, what in the world's going on here? But I'm telling you, well, I think when we're in love with the Lord, we'll express it. You may not do it in song, but we'll express it. Our adoration of Him, we will express our love towards Him. I believe that's the result of being filled with the Spirit of God. Wanting to adore Him, wanting to praise Him, wanting to thank Him. Then let me give you another one. Well, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is what we would actually look at to see whether, and we're not talking about fruits, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The very first one, adoration towards God, love, joy. Usually when you're singing, you admit it now. Some of y'all might be singing the wrong song, but you admit it. When you're singing, usually you're happy about something. Is that not true? Come on now, help me out. You know, if you're doing a little jingle or something, you know, it's usually because why? You're happy about something. You don't usually sing when you're sad. Amen. And then he said, love, joy, peace. Hey, if I'm scared, I'm not going to be singing. I'm going to be shaking. Amen. Then long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what it teaches us. That's for the fruit of the Spirit. That'll be results of us being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, that's a relationship toward God. Then let's look at our relationship into circumstances. There ought to be a spirit of appreciation. Look what it says in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we should appreciate. When we a spirit-filled person will be a humble person. Pride and the Spirit of God cannot live in the same house. Pride, when we are prideful, we're closer to being more like the devil than we ever can be. Because what made him sin? He was lifted up in pride. And when we're lifted up in pride, then we're more like the devil than we ever could be. And so when you realize appreciation, when you appreciate things, you know what you're doing? You're humbling yourself, really. You appreciate it. So the Bible says that we're to be esteeming one another. You know what? I don't think, well, my sister, she, well, who she thinks she is? Why? I don't think that's esteeming. I don't think that's appreciating. Do you? No. Boy, it'd be a whole, I think Philadelphia Baptist Church would be a whole lot better place if we esteemed one another. Now, it won't take you 5 minutes. I'm talking about anybody in this building, even Brother Tim and Sister Donna that just don't know me very well. It wouldn't take them 5 minutes to think something bad about Tim McCulley. Amen. Or if you followed me around, it wouldn't take you long to think something bad or not like something about somebody. Amen. But why would that be the thing that would be our conversation? Why would that be the thing that would be on our mind when you know there's 100 things to praise Tim McCulley about? Or there's 100 things. One person got it. There's 100 things. There's 100 things to praise. I mean, we're not all bad. Everything we do ain't bad. Right, Brother Scott? Amen. Yeah, we got your name wrong, but that's fine. Yeah. It ain't wrong. It ain't all bad. We try. Right? And I'll be a spirit-filled person. Will be an appreciative person. They'll be appreciative to God. What, giving thanks to God. Do you realize one of the things that are listed that would be in the last days is being unthankful? Yeah. Is being unthankful. And when you really honest with you, we live in a very unthankful day.
Yeah, we do.
You know, you go to some people and that's working in different places and you say, boy, they don't like working here. And they let you know they don't like working there. I was at the hospital in one of these places you have to park and you get a little ticket. And I got that little ticket and I gave it to that lady. I pulled up that little thing, pushed a button, no ticket came out. The little thing raises up, I just head on out. You know, and I go, park, I come back out. I drive up to this thing and the lady says, where's your ticket? I said, it didn't get one. She said, is it out again? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm not filling it up. I filled it up last time. She said, that man that works on first, he don't never fill it up. And I thought, you know, it don't matter whose job. It's without. And then, you know what she said? She wants to fuss because I don't have a ticket. I don't know how much to charge you. I have to charge you for a whole day. What time did you come? I said, well, you know, I came at a certain time. I don't know, you know. I've been here probably 35 hours, right around an hour. Oh, yeah, I won't charge you for this. I mean, you know, you could give it to me free. I mean, But she was just upset about a job that really was her responsibility to do. Because I can tell you one thing, I don't care how many tickets goes in and out of there, there's no way they can figure out which shift the tickets are going to go out on. Yeah. Amen. And if her, well, anyway. So anyway, she was just upset about it. You know what? She's unappreciated. Now, she's going to really want that check go at the end of the week. Now, I know I'm getting where somebody's living because some of us could be unappreciative. We don't watch it. We could be unappreciative of God. We don't be appreciative of God's blessings towards us. We just get accustomed to the blessings of God.
That's right.
Amen. Well, I've got to close. Your relationship and your circumstances. In your relationship to others should be a spirit of accommodation. Notice verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You hear this. Person says, I know my rights. I know my rights. Amen. Well, I want to ask you this. The Bible says we're like dead men. The Bible says we're to die to self. You know what a dead man? A dead man has no rights. Hey, we're always in the wrong spirit when we say this. When we say, well, I don't care. You can just always mark it down. We're probably in the wrong spirit. I don't care what it's about. I don't care. It's usually not a good spirit to be in. So, okay. And see if we can get enough. You know what? You show a person his rights, you know what you'll get? A revolution. You show a person his responsibilities, you know what you'll get? A revival. How true that is. We need to realize that God wants us to be filled with the Spirit of God no matter what the circumstances and are in our relationship to others, we're to be esteeming those. I want to give you a question, and I got one illustration. I'm going, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Do you have the attributes of being filled with God? Do you have the right adoration? Do you have the right appreciation? Do you have the right accommodation to people? Which is the last one. And then I want to give you this. I read this. And it so touched my heart. World War II was going on. Germany landed in Crete. And the men came out with knives and farm equipment. You know, farm to try to fight the Germans with. Well, at a certain place, they lined many, I mean, it's almost all of the village, they lined them up and they shot them. Killed every one of them, the Germans did. The little kids, there's a little boy by the name of Alexander of Pandarus, and he was 6 years old when this happened. He was raised in a concentration camp under the Germans. And finally, when they was liberated, and finally when they was set free, he started an institute for peace and understanding, and he founded it right there where those men and women was lined up and shot. He put it where you could view the airport, and right there where those men and all those women and the villagers was. And while he was a little boy, he seen a German, and a German wrecked a motorcycle, and the glass, some of the glass on the motorcycle, one of the mirrors, it shattered. And he got the largest piece of it he could, and he could see himself in that mirror. He took it and he rubbed it, and he kept rubbing it and rubbing it until he got it, all the sides of it rubbed off where it was smooth and it wouldn't cut him. And it actually, he said it turned out to be almost round. And it wasn't a big piece of glass, just a little piece of glass. And he could take that piece of glass, you know what he could do? He could take the light and make the light reflect off of it into little dark areas. Now we're talking about a young boy being raised in a consecration camp, and no toys, nothing to play with, but he has this little mirror, and he plays with it, and he's so admired by how the light reflects off it. He can shine a little light down into a dark area, little crevices, and he plays with this. Well, after he is liberated, after he starts this institution, he's making a speech and goes places and goes to different places and makes speeches at different universities and stuff. And he's at a university making a speech and telling about what he went through in his life. And somebody asked him, what is the real meaning of life? And he pulls that little mirror out. And he said, this has become my metaphor for life. He said, I can take this little mirror and I can make light shine in dark places. And he said, this mirror is like my life. He said, this mirror came from, he said, I don't know what it was really formed like. I don't know what it was supposed to look like with all the other pieces. And he said, that's like me. I don't know what my really peace in life is, but I know this. God has chose me to reflect the light in dark places. Amen. Can I tell you, that's what God has chosen. And he said, that's what life has meant to me. That's what the meaning of life is for me. Reflect the light to dark places where it might change some. And that's the same thing for you and I. That's what God's purpose for our life is, that we might be a mirror of Him, that we might point the light to others, that might see the glorious light of the gospel. And in that dark heart, amen, that's black, God can wash it as white as snow.
Amen.
And make the light to shine in their lives. You know what I believe a spirit-filled life will do? A spirit-filled life will shine forth the light that others may see. It'll shine forth the light that others may see. I wonder, are you being filled with the Spirit of God? Are we filled with? Do we have results of being filled with the Spirit of God? Our heads are bowed. Tonight, you don't have to come and pray. She's going to play. If you want to come and pray, that would be wonderful. But maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe He smoked your heart like He did me when I read that illustration of that man's life. Are you reflecting to a world, a Savior that you're just adored with? Circumstances that in the midst of all of it, you still have joy. And living among people, are you willing to appreciate them and accommodate them? accepting others. The Bible says being tenderhearted, loving one another. While our heads are bowed, is God speaking to our hearts and saying, boy, you know what? I need to be more spirit-filled. I need to more have the more characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit living in me, love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness. I want them things to be more in my life that they might be a light to shine in dark crevices of the world, in the hearts of dark men's heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight You'd help us, You'd lead us, You'd guide us. Help us to be more like You, Lord. Help us to have results of being filled by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.